Oh yeah. I like letting that play as much as I can. Oh yeah. Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome to the Alma Podcast. I am your host, Coco Rubio, coming to you from the beautiful Augusta Podcast Lounge Studios today. 12th floor of the AU building overlooking beautiful downtown Augusta. My host today is Travis A. Shaw. Travis, what's up?
Yo, Coco. Thanks for having me, man.
How's that view look?
Looks like home.
Yeah, we'll send some pictures out so people can see it because, yeah, this studio is really nice. This is a real lounge here, David. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for being had.
Yeah, absolutely, David. This is great, man. This is super dope.
This one has more alcohol than the other one, so that's the benefit here.
Mm. Okay, well, we're getting ready for the Braves tonight. Actually, they're playing at 5 o'clock against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Game 3. Let's go, Braves.
Yeah, let's go, Braves.
The Alma Podcast is about Augusta live music, local music, and art. And I like to use the podcast to talk to local musicians and artists who are doing things here in Augusta, Georgia. And Travis Shaw is a busy, busy man. In fact, he is a full-time professional musician. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct.
Travis Shaw, Brownstown Gritty is your group. And you do other things too. We're going to talk a lot about Brownstown Gritty, but I want to talk a little bit about, just run through some of the other musical things that you're doing as a full-time musician here in town.
Yeah, sure. So my life as a professional musician is extremely varied. You know, the benefit that I have and the way that I'm able to make a living is essentially because I'm a bass player. Mm-hmm. And so that affords me the opportunity to work in a large variety of musical situations. So I'm very active in the churches in Augusta, Georgia. I'm very active in the jazz community here and the jazz community in Columbia, South Carolina. I'm also very active in the rock community here in Augusta, Georgia, playing with people like the Village Sticks and Pure Indigo. Columbia, I play with musicians like Mark Rapp, Mitch Butler, Amos Hoffman, some of the great jazz players up there. Stankface is a band out of Columbia that I play with a good bit. I work a lot at First Pres Augusta as a musician there. I've spent a lot of time playing at Warren Baptist, at Hill Baptist. So I'm kind of, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yeah, that's cool that you're doing all that. I think the first time I saw you, Travis, play out was with in Vox and Bass.
Yeah.
With Nefertiti. And yes, that was a really good duo.
My sister.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. Shout out to Nefertiti. I know she's getting ready to have a baby, and we wish her, sending her lots of love.
We are.
And beautiful family, and she's quite the artist. Can't wait to see her perform again. Do y'all have plans? Are y'all kind of on hiatus right now?
We just played a couple weeks ago at Soul Food Kitchen. Awesome. And it was great. You know, it was so much fun to play with her.
That's a cool venue too, right?
Oh, man. Soul Food Kitchen. Yeah. Yeah. Huge shout out to them and the staff there. They are fantastic. So we played there, and it was a great night, and we really enjoyed spending time together. I wouldn't say we're on a hiatus. We're just conscious of what's happening in life at the moment. I think her and I are both, we believe in seasons, you know? So some seasons are, you know, good for this. Some seasons are good for that. Some seasons need this. And right now is kind of a season of family, a season of education, and a season of personal growth for her.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she's... Yeah, she's just, a lot of respect for her, you know, just as a person too, as well as a musician, but just as a mom, as a wife, everything, you know, she's really, I can't say enough about her. So, yeah, Nefertiti, we'll get you on here one day, okay? So you'll be on this podcast soon. What other bands do you play with? You mentioned some rock bands, and I know you have a little project with some friends of mine. Is that Silo? Is that the name of that band?
Yeah, Silo is a big project and is a really important part of my musical life. That's me and Eric Rinker and Michael Dinkins. Mm-hmm. We had a band called We Are the Audience with Will Duckworth.
Will. Yeah, where's Will now? Where's he now?
So Will's up in Nashville working for Journeys. him and his wife are up there. They got a beautiful baby. And we're all still really close. That's like awesome. Will's a good friend of mine. We talk very regularly.
What's up, Will?
Shout out, huge shout out. One of the best guitar players, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just amazing guitar player. But Eric and Michael and I have the band Silo, and we released an EP last year called 2020 that's available on Spotify, Apple Music, and all that stuff. It's really good, man. It's great music. And, you know, we're right now I'm kind of in this like super busy season. We normally get together once a week, spend a few hours writing and, you know, shedding if we're getting ready to come up and getting ready to like play a gig or something coming up. We haven't really been able to do that in just a few weeks just because I've been absolutely slammed and Eric's kind of slammed too.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that we have this long-term commitment to each other through time. And Eric Rinker, you know, is definitely of all the musicians that I've worked with, and I've worked with a lot. My own personal viewpoint is that Eric Rinker is the strongest musician I've ever known.
Wow, that's awesome!
His creativity, his ear, his sense of taste, the way he writes. The way he mixes and masters.
Right, right.
It's just the whole package is there. He plays guitar, he plays drums, and I'm a bass player. So like me and Eric met, Eric was the drummer and we are the audience.
He's a great drummer, but he's incredible guitarist as well.
Yeah, but we had that connection. There's a real special thing.
That's cool.
You know, bass player to drummer.
Yeah.
That's a relationship that I don't think you could really understand unless you were in it.
Well, I'm a drummer and my older brother DDA is a bass player.
So you know what's
so
up.
It is a special relationship there, absolutely, musically. So I completely understand what you're saying there, absolutely. You know, and you are the rhythm section and there's a specialness that you're one. You're two of you make one and that's the...
Yeah, my best friends have always ended up being drummers.
That's funny. That's awesome. That's awesome. So that's your rock thing. But now you have come onto something special and something that's kind of taking off in a way I haven't seen too many things. You know, I think it's the way you've kind of presented it and have put it out into the world. And I'm talking about Brownstown Gritty.
Yo, Brownstown Gritty.
You know, yeah, yeah. So how long have you been doing Brownstown Gritty? And tell me who's in. Tell us who's in the band.
So not long.
This is fresh.
This is a new project, but it is grabbing. It's grabbing in a way, like you said, that personally I've never seen anything grab like this. I think August, right? I got my first date at Soul Bar. So I reached out to your brother Jason. I knew that, well, Ed Fuquay was doing the jazz nights, Tuesday night jazz nights down at Soul Bar. And, man, I mean, they were crushing. He had Amos Hoffman coming in from Columbia, Edwin Hamilton on drums, two of the absolute best musicians you could find anywhere. And along with Ed, who is a beast of a bass player.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But Ed moved to Columbia, and the Tuesday night jazz thing kind of just fizzled. And, I didn't really want to come in and like start a thing on Ed's heels, but I knew that that spot was kind of open. So I reached out to Jason and I just said, hey man, can I do this thing, you know, once in a while, maybe like once a month or something. And he said, yeah, well you can come down and try it one time, man. We'll see what happens. So basically, you know, Jason gave me, a huge helping hand and said, you know, Tuesday nights, Soul Bar, you can come down and kind of rehearse the band live, you know, cause I got Christian Thornton on drums. I got TJ Barnes on keys. And that was the original trio. And I was really just thinking we were just going to be a trio.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
And it started out, it was working well. Then Jason said, well, let's do more gigs. I said, okay, cool. So we came up with like a residency. Mm-hmm. So we came up with dates through the end of the year, which you should be able to find on the Soul Bar website and also... On my Facebook page, but we expanded it. And then I started kind of experimenting with other people coming in and just playing with us. Rachel Goodman from Bad Glamour came in and led the band and she was crushing it, man.
Yeah, she's cool.
I love Rachel. Huge shout out to her.
I want to bring her in too. I've talked to her about coming and talking about what she does. Yeah, she's cool.
Super unique, interesting musician.
Yeah, I love it. Yep. That's cool. So she came on and did some.
Yeah, man. We did this Blondie tune, Rapture.
Hey, dude, Rapture is super funky.
It was lit.
Yeah,
it was so much fun. But I ended up bringing on Ethan Stallings from the Village Sticks because I started playing with the Village Sticks, and I see something in Ethan that I see. There's like a hunger there that mm-hmm. musicians have to pursue. Like I kind of think of music as like, oddly, as like a foretaste of heaven in a way. And it kind of has in its really strong form, it has like a purity about it mm-hmm. that kind of gets revealed as the musicians play. Certain musicians go after that. And I'm one of those people. I try to be. Mm-hmm. Christian is definitely like that.
Right,
TJ's like that. And I kind of saw that in Ethan too. It's like, you know, and as musicians, when we try to go after that, it comes with complications because it's very difficult to reveal it in a way that keeps its purity. Mm. You know, music is very, music likes to sleep around. You know what I mean? Like music is just kind of like a very free spirit. So it's like, it's hard to tame and it moves in a way that,
I like that.
That's it keeps you on your toes. So if you're going to kind of reveal this pure thing that music can reveal, at least in my own viewpoint, then there's a certain path you got to walk with it. So anyway, I think the guys in the band all kind of go after that thing, mm-hmm. but we all love funk music mm-hmm. and we're really trying to figure out the way that jazz musicians study swing, or the way that R&B musicians, you know, study Motown, or the way that classical musicians study Bach. Well, what if we, you know, study funk, which sounds stupid, but also is like, you know, it's like we honor it. It's like we look towards it and we say, man, Clyde Stubblefield, man. Ooh, mm-hmm. what was he up to? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and then you're like, oh man, Bernard Odom. How was he like laying that bass just perfectly? How does he get that tone? How does he get that sound? How does he get that feel? And you start kind of honoring these people and looking towards them. And then the band is built around that. It's built around this thing that was kind of the nexus in my, the way I see it is kind of like James Brown was the nexus, and around him, all this stuff started to form.
Right.
And the stuff that started to form musically around him and around what he did, mm-hmm. it's really inspiring to us. And we kind of want to honor that.
And you told me something, you know, we've been talking about your band and kind of your inspiration. And I mean, and I think you hit on something when you said that being in Augusta, being an Augusta band, being a local band from Augusta who is exploring the funk, you're doing it in the right city.
Well, man, right? Each city has a sound.
Each city
has a sound. I don't know why. I mean, I'd love to have like an ethnomusicologist explain it to me. Right, like Memphis has got a sound, man. Mm-hmm. You know, Detroit's got a sound. Augusta has a sound, and there's something to be said for putting yourself in the city that you were physically in, walking around, exploring, meeting people, hanging out with your friends, you know, going to bars, going to music stores, going to grocery stores, doing all the things that you do within a city, and you investigate from a musical perspective what's happening with the energy around that city. Mm-hmm. Now, I actually have several weird beliefs, but I'll share one of them with you today.
Okay, we're ready. Let's hear it. What you got?
So I really believe for me, my musical experiences have always been enriched and ignited by time around the river.
Okay.
So it's like I have this saying in my mind that like music comes up from the river, you know? And if you, and I also have this kind of saying in my mind that the most of the more musical cities in the world, I mean, probably most cities in the world are river cities. I mean, so I can't, but most of the really musical cities are river cities, New Orleans, Memphis, New York City even, right? I mean, the Hudson, you know, you think about, so there's something about that energy to me that is very important. So I try to spend a lot of time with the Savannah. I spend a lot of time walking out at Finnessy and biking, cycling out there on the canal. Like I try to get, I grew up out at, on Clark's Hill Lake, which is, you know, basically part of the Savannah. So there's something about that. It's like the source of the energy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's cool because I mean, right. I think the history of Augusta shows that it was the Westaboo Indians kind of settled in right here and stuff, you know, and maybe it, it's something in the soil that makes it funky.
Right. What is it about Augusta that makes it funky? I don't know. But the second I started tapping on that funk glass, the city started responding. And I was like, oh, I'm going to keep tapping on this funk glass.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you're a bass player. You're a, you know, great bass player again, doing, you know, I've seen you with the stand up with the electric bass and everything. Some other bass players in town that you, you know, look up to that you like listening to, you know, give a shout out to any bass players here in town.
Yeah, man, absolutely. You know, Eric Kinlaw is a great bass player.
Yeah.
He's also a great entrepreneur and a huge supporter. That's somebody I look up to immensely.
Right, right. And that's for people who don't know Eric, you know, the Bee's Knees and Hive. And he's been doing it for a long time. And, yeah, I have a lot of respect for Eric Kinlaw, too.
David Weston. David Weston, man, like, David's a legit bass player. And he really holds it down. And
have you seen some of his videos when he was playing with James Brown?
Yeah.
Some of those concert footage where he's, I mean,
tearing it.
He gets overlooked, I think, sometimes because of Bootsy Collins, of course, you know, and, you know, some of the other bass players. But Dave Weston was, was really good. And he had a venue downtown also, you know, back in the day, the Word of Mouth Cafe on Broad Street. Dave and Ann Weston had that. And it was a cool spot because you could eat and have dinner. You had the bar, but then you had a stage and you had a live band playing. And so that was happening.
Some of my first professional musical experiences were there.
Yeah, that's cool.
With a step up.
A step up.
Yeah, Michael Peel, Eric Hillman, Matthew Whittington.
There you go. Yeah, you're going back.
Played
on
with
that.
Them for years, man.
That's cool. And yet, what are some other bass players that you know? Travis Petrie. You seen Travis play the bass?
Do you know Travis? I really don't know Travis.
Okay.
I don't. We roll in the same circles.
He came up when I was talking to Keith Jenkins about some of his old bands, and they go way back. And it was funny. I was like, Travis was doing it back then. He's still rocking. And
well, of course, Rob, though. Rob Thomas.
Rob is great. And that's,
you know.
First time I saw Rob
with
was,
Funk U.
Yeah.
Huge shout out to Funk U.
That's, you know, a band I wanted to bring up too, you know, because to me, they're a local band who, I mean, they put it in their name, you know, they're Funk U from Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah,
and,
man.
You know, I have a lot of respect for Evan and Gavin and
Gavin's
Rob and
like
the
a
whole
mystic,
crew,
man.
You know, what they're
He's
doing.
Crazy.
They've taken it locally. They did it locally for a while, did it for a long time and kind of slowly built up and started playing, you know, around, you know, going out of town. Started, I remember, you know, shows they were doing in Milledgeville. You know, then they'd go to Athens, you know, Atlanta, Columbia, and then just started spreading out and more. And I mean, gosh, now they go to Colorado and New York. They just played the Brooklyn Bowl, you know, and I have a lot of respect for them because they really put out their original music. You know, they're not a cover band. They do covers, you know, with encores and they throw them in there, but they're doing original music and they're bringing the funk. And I, you know, Rob was bringing it when they first started, you know, and I know he's not with them right now.
But he's playing with Bodega Cat.
Exactly.
You know, and Rob's super active as a bass player around town. Yeah. We hung at the Augusta Rocks thing a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Because I played with Pure Indigo and with Village Sticks there. And it was great, man. It was great to hang out with Rob, talk to him, man. I was like, hey, man, check out my new bass. And he was like, oh, dude, check out my new bass. And he's got something now. I think it's a Marlowe. It's sick, man.
Yeah,
it's a great instrument.
Cool. So when did you start playing bass? Was that your instrument from the get when you started? How old were you when you started playing the bass?
I was 14 when I started playing bass. But I played guitar for a couple of years before that. It was a... Chris and Daddy was on the Augusta podcast. What do y'all call it, David?
Drop the disc. Thank you, Coco.
I'm sorry. I know that. I know that, but I'm in here. I get excited and then I get forgetful. Anyway, Chris was on the Drop the Disc podcast, and she was talking about her first guitar was she thought she'd got some awesome axe, but what she'd really gotten was firewood. That was kind of what my first guitar was like. I was like, I feel you, Chris. Which, oh, by the way, Chris Deddy is going to be performing with the Brownstown Gritty on Tuesday, October the... 26th.
Yeah.
Tuesday, October the 26th. And anyway, so I got a piece of firewood, didn't really fall in love with it, but I took music lessons at A World of Music.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was studying with Jeff Guthrie, who's actually one of my heroes, man.
Yeah. Jeff's awesome.
Yeah. Jeff kicked my butt. I will never forget my first guitar lesson. Scared the crap out of me.
Good for you though, to get with Jeff, you know, no wonder you're so, you know. I see what's up. Okay, cool.
But every time I would go in for a lesson with Jeff, man, I would pick up the basses, and it was like when I would play and I would feel those strings vibrate and I would feel the instrument vibrate against my body. It electrified me in a way that it's never stopped. Some kind of bell got rung. And I think there's a couple other things that really made that bell keep ringing, but that was where it really started, was just picking them up and just feeling that. And then I started taking bass lessons with John Lamb.
Okay.
Who played with All That Jazz for years.
Right, right, right. That's Joni's brother, Joni Lamb. Shout out to her.
Rest in peace, John. John was a great man, and he was a good dude. He was a fantastic bass player, and he really encouraged me on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. You're going way back with some of the, some Augusta legends, really, from when you were young, you did that. You went off to school in Atlanta, is that right?
Yeah, I went to the Atlanta Institute of Music straight out of high school.
Okay, and that kind of got you ready, you feel like, to then, you wanted to do music full-time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you were there to do that.
Man, cool. When I got my first bass when I was 14 years old, I took it home. And I don't come from a musical family. I don't have a naturally inclined ear towards pitch sensitivity or rhythmic language. But man, I just started playing. And I played all day. Keith was on the podcast and Keith was talking about, straight A student. He got that guitar and it was like, those grades just went to the basement, man. And I was like, yeah, I can relate to that. Wow, I came home and I have no idea what I played. I wasn't even really learning songs. I do remember learning one Sonic Youth song, but I figured it out because Kim Gordon was just playing the open E string. It's like Kim Gordon was just like, boom, boom. And I was like, oh, I figured that's out awesome. A song. Whole song like that, man.
Yeah, that's some good bass lines and a lot of Sonic Youth songs. Kim Gordon is awesome. Did you see her when she played at the Sacred Heart silent film?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, that was a Westaboo event that they did at Sacred Heart. And the silent film was Joan of Arc, Passion of Joan of Arc, black and white silent film. And then she played bass and other guy playing guitar, and I forgot the name of the group. Head and Heart, I think, was the duo, and it was amazing.
There is one story I got to tell you, though, if we're talking about the early days of bass with me in Augusta, Georgia. This is what really, I was already electrified for bass, but this is what, this is what happened to just cement that path for me. Okay. So I was taking lessons with John Lamb, and I was 15, so green, no musical talent, just utterly Twitter-pated with music and in love with the bass. He said, hey, man, there's this guy coming to do a bass clinic at the store. You should come. And I was like, what's a bass clinic? And he was like, you know, it's they just come in and they play and they talk about the instrument. His name's Victor Wooten. I think you'll dig it. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll come to that.
Dang.
So
that was here in Augusta?
Yeah, this is 1995.
Dang. That's crazy.
1996, 15-year-old kid, totally green, totally in love with the bass. Man, Victor Wooten and Steve Bailey, who's from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, is a great bass player. And they came in, they had just done a record called Bass Extremes. And they had JD, I can't remember JD's last name. Victor's longtime drummer playing drums, but they just had him like on tracks. You know, he'd like laid everything down in the studio. They basically played the record live with the drum tracks.
Wait, so where was this?
This was a world of music. I show up in this tiny music store, 10, 15 people, right?
Yeah.
And Victor Wooten and Steve Bailey play the most unbelievable. I mean, it electrified my spirit in a way that.
That's amazing. That's a great
story. Again, like, it never stopped. It's like they rung a bell that never stopped ringing or put a ball in, you know, started bouncing a ball that just never stopped bouncing for me.
Wow, that's cool.
And still, like, man, to this day, I wake up every single day, good day, bad day, rainy day, sunny day, hot day, cold day, bad day.
Got your bass.
And I want to play.
That's cool.
That's what I want to do. I want to write. I want to be with the instrument. I want to feel the strings. I want to think about pitch. I want to think about rhythm. I want to think about songs and songwriting. And
you know. So Brownstown Gritty, what you guys are doing, playing out, you're going to be recording some stuff too? Is that in the works?
We are absolutely going to be recording some stuff. We are playing out
original tracks, I'm assuming.
We are totally, we've already started writing some original music.
That's cool, right on.
And actually, TJ and Ethan and I are getting together this Saturday and doing a writing session.
Yeah, that's good.
And then the Saturday after that, we got another writing session scheduled where all four of us are going to be there. And we're going to just start building original music. And original music is extremely important to us.
Mm-hmm.
We really want to create our music based on the inspiration of what's happening around us in Augusta with soul music, you know, and who the... it's even kind of funny, man, because it's not even so much that Augusta has this immensely active music scene like an Austin or like Nashville or something, but there's a vibe, there's a vibration, there's an energy in the city that is just kind of funky and gritty.
Yeah. Well, Augusta's always had great musicians and, you know, great bands. And one of the things I'm trying to do is to promote, you know, these bands and the, you know, venues that they're playing in. So I kind of want to ask you real quick before we kind of wind down the podcast. How is the Augusta, you know, music scene as far as, you know, what are the venues that bands can play in 2021? You're out there trying to get gigs and stuff. I mean, what's the landscape?
Yeah. Well, the landscape is kind of an ever evolving post-COVID landscape.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of the people who were booking gigs before COVID are kind of slowly tiptoeing back into booking gigs now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that at the same time, there's all these things that happened during the pandemic. Like there's all these new sprouts everywhere. And my personal assessment is that I feel this, it's very alive right now. Augusta is like kind of percolating. And things are bubbling up, but they haven't really coalesced quite yet. But to kind of directly answer your question, where are the places to play right now? A lot of the same places that we've had, you know, so Soul Bar is the backbone for us at this moment. Huge shout out to Soul Bar. Stillwater, we got...
Stillwater's been holding it down for a long time. I give, you know, Matt and Barry, you know, props for... always doing it, you know, and a lot of a lot of venues, sometimes they'll switch from live music to DJs. Stillwater hasn't done that yet.
Yeah.
You know, and
well, Edgar's Above Broad is another place, man.
Edgar's is a cool spot that Edgar's I've been booking, you know, on the weekends trying to get some local bands to play some music.
It's That's a great place to go hear music, man, because you're a great cultivator and curator is actually the word I was looking for. Like, you're a great curator of music.
It's been fun. Thank you. Just trying to use that space also. I like the terrace, you know, the outdoor space feels
nice.
Good, you know, overlooking Broad Street, you know, so... yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, happy to be able to do that. Thinking about other venues, I know, Metro has, you know, there was some discussion about them bringing back some live music.
Yeah. Jack Daniel's Day Lewis is playing at the end of the month with, Mackenzie Blake. Shout out to Mackenzie.
Yeah. Mackenzie's good.
She's legit, man. I've played with her, unfortunately. And she asked me to play with her that night. And I would love to. But I'm playing with this guy, Chris Reed, in Columbia that night, who's also kind of on the rise.
Yeah, Pineapple Link is another place I know that's started doing some
Southbound
things.
Over in North Augusta.
Yeah.
Soul Food Kitchen in Surrey Center.
Mm-hmm. Is Mellow Mushroom still doing things, do you know? They used to have some...
You know, I don't even... I think, was it Jason Shepherd was doing Mellow...
Yeah.
The music for Mellow? You know, I never really knew Jason.
I know
Jason.
He used to, yeah.
Yeah, I never, me and Jason didn't really, we never really knew each other. I reached out to him once and asked him if I could get a gig there. And I was asking him to get me something with like me and Christian, who's like the most, like the lightest drummer in Augusta and like the most sensitive musician I know. And Jason was like, nah, man, like no drums at Mellow.
Right.
Which was cool, you know. So I never really worked at Mellow.
Okay. There's some places in Columbia County I know also have been doing it. You know, I'm trying to... You know, support
stay.
All stays of spot.
Yeah, stay social tap and table. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Renee.
Yeah,
over there. Yeah, man. I mean, we've got tons of energy. I mean, this city is growing, and it's moving, and it's changing. And like I said, I really feel there's some percolation happening. Like something is going on in this city right now, and I think. The landscape, the musical landscape potential for 10 years from now is what I'm really interested in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm interested also beyond the smaller venues, which are to me the backbone of, you know, these bands playing out. But I start looking at other venues, you know, a little bit bigger venues that we have here, you know, especially downtown, like the Imperial Theater, the Miller Theater, the Bell Auditorium, the new James Brown Arena. And what we can do, you know, to attract more bands to come to Augusta, you know.
And we've had some good ones come through, haven't we?
We have.
I mean, Santana, that's...
Yeah, that was a fantastic show. I'm so glad I was able to see that here in town.
Jason Isbell's coming through in January. I saw that.
Jason Isbell. I'm going to try to do something with that, David, and see if I can get one of them for
I hope
podcast.
You can. That would be really cool.
We'll talk about how we can do that and stuff. Yeah. This is all good. We're going to wrap this up because I think we're getting close on time. How are we looking, David?
I think you're right on cue.
All right, cool. One thing I want to do on my podcast, and we're going to do it here in a minute, is listen to some original music by my guests that come. And so Travis has some music that he wants to share. And this is not funk. This is not Brownstown Gritty. This is some... How would you describe this vibe on this track? Because I really like it, Travis. And to me, it's like a little indie rock kind of just, I don't know. It's really laid back, smooth. It's a nice track. How would you describe it?
Well, I'm, you know, like every person, I'm multifaceted, multi-layered, and there are various aspects of my personality. Music is the way in which those layers manifest. So I have kind of a live music aesthetic, which is, you know, crosses genre and is varied. But I have a recorded music aesthetic too. I'm building a home studio, and I've been working very hard on developing professional level audio engineering skills. And really studying that. And part of the project for me has been that in 2021, I have put it to myself that I was going to release an original song every week for the whole year.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's cool.
Wow. That's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, I'm like 41, 42 weeks in now, I think. And this is one of the songs that has come out of that journey for me, this challenge to myself to basically, I knew that if I was going to get good at recording, get good at audio engineering, I had to just do a lot of it. And so I played everything. It's all basses, keyboards, vocals. I sang the drums. I programmed with what's called it's a Native Instruments machine. It's kind of like a sequencer, like, and you can kind of like finger drum the patterns in.
That's cool.
So I did play the drums in.
So you played everything on this track.
So everything here is me.
Including the vocals.
Including the vocals and the editing, the mixing and the mastering. All everything right, is done by me.
Yeah, this is good. This is good. The name of the song is We Have Found Our Way. It's Travis A. Shaw. Here we go.
We've never
sounds so good, Travis.
Thanks, Coco. I appreciate you having me on here today and playing this music, talking about the band. Huge shout out to you for what you're doing here, because we need this, man. And we've got the people. Augusta has the musicians. We've got the talent. We've got the community.
Yeah, thank you for that. I just feel like this is something that, yeah, I enjoy doing. I think it needs to be documented what we have here in Augusta musically, going as back as we can, as far back as we can, you know, and current and what's going to happen in the future. Hopefully, you know, I want to keep talking to different musicians and artists and, you know, thank you for being on. And I appreciate your depth in talking about it. You know, it just makes it a good hang.
And massive shout out to Augusta Podcast.
For sure.
Dude.
David and Chris, y'all are doing it right. We appreciate
super cool.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, that's AugustaPodcasts.com. Go there and check them out, and they can help you with anything you want to do podcast-related and anything, you know, else. They're doing some good things here, too, so we appreciate that. And with that, I think we're going to call it a podcast, and we'll do it again soon. We appreciate y'all listening, and again, thank you, Travis. And
yeah, let's hear that Keith Jenkins
track.
Keeping
it funky. Keep it funky.
We gonna keep it funky.
Keep Augusta, know, keep Augusta funky. Come on, Keith.
Oh yeah.
That's a bad man. Got a lot. Get that wah on the bass. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got it on there.
Back to the one, y'all. Yeah, it does.